All right, and I'm going to call the meeting to order at 5:37 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Roll call, Aaron Stevens is here. Lloyd Timberlake?
Here.
Nathan Wakefield?
Here.
Kyle Johnson? He's absent. Scott Krause?
Here.
Sarah Davis?
Here.
I'm sneaking in Noelle Yee because something on your name got erased. Noelle Yee?
Here.
Mike Sullivan?
Here.
Cody Furek?
Here.
Martin Frost? He's absent. And Jim Maxwell?
Here.
Also present. Excellent. Move. For some reason, I have Martin Frost calling me on my home line. I'm not sure why, or on my cell phone. But hopefully he'll join the call. Okay, moving forward with a motion to approve the agenda. Would anyone like to make the motion?
This is Scott. I'll make the motion.
All right, and a second?
Lloyd, I'll second.
Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Okay, and approval of minutes for March 23rd. Would somebody like to make the motion?
This is Lloyd, I move.
And a second?
Martin.
This is Scott. I'll make a motion.
Okay, thank you. You'll make the second. Hi, Martin. Thanks
Hi.
For joining. Any discussion? What's that?
Nothing.
Okay. any discussion? Hearing none, we'll move to vote. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. And moving on to reports. First, we have the 2014 IJ Festival report from Cody Furek.
Hey. So, I'd say first piece of news is that we have a new liaison over at Purdue. So she's going to be helping us out with getting the replacement for the ballroom and getting all the dorm stuff finalized. Which the dorm stuff should be coming very soon. I was hoping to get it by the newsletter, but not quite. So they've put in the official work request to get the site for where people can register for their dorms. It sounds like people are going to have to pay for meals on site, so they won't be able to pay for that ahead of time. But we should have details on that pretty soon here. Just found out over the weekend that the farmers market didn't approve us to do the busking with them. They thought it would take away from the farmer's market too much. So I think we're going to go ahead and stay on campus and do it at the engineering mall, which we had a picture of that way earlier in the year, which is the one with the super big fountain. So I'll continue to talk with Jeff on that and hash out the details. Added some more performers to the shows. We got Justin Benson at Poi and Brian Thompson and Cassie McKinney are going to be doing a piece together. So rounded out the shows real nicely. I think we're pretty well set on all of our performances. Championship deadline is coming up on May 15th. Right now we only have two individuals and three juniors signed up, it looks like. So that deadline will be coming up soon, so we'll want to get a push for that and make sure everybody knows to get submitted for that. Figuring out a bunch of the registration stuff. We're going to do colored wristbands for the full week pass and then different colored bands for each of the day passes. And then we're going to get some printed tickets for the show, so we'll have some nice printed tickets that we're going to order. Get some walkie-talkies for all around so we can utilize them during whichever event's going on, whether it be juggling or the shows or whatever. And then we've had 176 total packages sold so far.
Okay. Thanks. Any discussion from anyone? Or questions for Cody?
Cody, you have a couple of days to get stuff into the e-newsletter. We're going to try to send it out Tuesday night. It's more or less done, but we can still fit something else in if we get some information about the housing situation.
Yeah, I get housing like on Monday, so just go ahead and send it then, basically.
Yep, send it to me Don.
Okay. And then, yeah, if not, I'll just update juggle.org whenever I get it, and then we can throw something on Facebook saying, hey, we updated housing info, and then obviously put in next month.
Right. And I would say if it's something that they don't finish by Tuesday, Martin, potentially doing a special newsletter partway through May, like doing a push for the championships deadline maybe, and also announcing the registration room or something, could be a possibility if need be.
Yeah. So my plan was to just send out a plain email with that information.
Right.
If we have a lot of details, we can do a two-page newsletter or something, but probably just plain email will do.
Oh, yeah, just plain email, totally. I just meant newsletter in the email.
News from the edge.
Yeah, plain email's fine. Also, I can talk about, like, World Juggling Day t-shirts when they go on sale and stuff. Okay. Any other discussions? All right, moving on to the 2015 festival report from Véronique Provenger. Did people have a chance to read that over?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. So she's got some good leads on some great show potential, performer potential people with the Theorem show from Greg Kennedy as well as Periodicity. She's working on graphic designers. Our goal is to have a graphic design and logo done by the 2014 festival to really be able to promote there, as well as a big video that they're working on, a promotional video for the festival, so we can play it at the IGA to start building the hype for 2015. And me and her met, and we just wanted some answers on contract with the theater. There were just some, that was the most complicated contract. All the others are pretty straightforward, so we just wanted some answers on that. And then she's been talking to her Canadian bank account, and I've been talking to Holly about how we want to deal with the bank account situation, and both people have said that the Canadian, that we should stick with our current bank account and that we can do fairly easy transactions internationally, so that'll be a lot easier and save us any type of bank fees or anything like that we would have.
Looks like good news.
Yeah, totally. And Holly's also talking to her auditor about tax situations, because that was another question that came up with how does it work doing an international festival and having to file taxes and stuff for considering we're doing something in Canada. And so she's talking to her auditor to find out information on that, which is helpful. Yeah, overall things are going really well. Any other discussion? Okay, moving on to future festival planning with Mike Sullivan.
Thank you, Erin. Hello, everybody. I hope you all had time to look over the report on El Paso. El Paso has worked very hard to give IJA everything that we could ask for. Very attractive hotel rates, the lowest we've seen. Excellent facilities, a very compact, walkable downtown, I would say the best we have ever seen, a large city that is easy to get to, and terms that give us a very strong chance of having a profitable festival. Looking back over 5 years of festivals, our attendance, our number of room nights that we pick up hasn't varied by more than 15%. It's very stable. No matter where we are, if we go to Sparks in a resort casino, or if we're in Rochester, Minnesota, or if we're in Bowling Green, Ohio with no airport, we always pick up between 800, 900, and last year a little bit more than 1,000 rooms. So that tells me that people come to our festival no matter where it is. And with El Paso having terrific air connections throughout the United States and Mexico, I don't think that would be a big concern for people who want to come to our festival. I am urging the board to accept El Paso's proposal and begin contract negotiations for 2016 so that we can then move on and begin working on a good site for 2017. I'd be happy to answer anyone's questions, but I would like to, again, urge the board. El Paso has given us the best offer that we can expect to see for any city in 2016, and I don't really expect to find anyone giving us any better offer that we can sign in the next few months.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you also for that incredible proposal. It's quite detailed and very much appreciated.
Thank you. I worked hard on it, and the people from El Paso.
My goodness. Yeah, it's beautiful. It really is. Good work. Okay, so moving on to discussion, just to let everyone know, Jim Maxwell is present here. He is, many of you probably know him, but he's a juggler from Austin, Texas. And I wrote Jim last night just to run the idea by him of being a potential for festival director if we did approve this, and he said he could come to the meeting and be a part of the discussion and read over the proposal as well. So, Jim, I'd love to hear from you, kind of your thoughts on things.
Sure. Can everybody hear me okay? I'm on a headset, and I can't really hear myself. So.
Yeah, hi, Jim.
We can hear you.
Hi. All right. Yeah, Mike, I'll echo that sentiment. Really good job on the proposal. It looks great, and it's really hard to find any drawbacks to this. When this first came up, I mean, my first impression was, yeah, that's not – I mean, it's Texas in name only, but most of the rest of Texas don't really even think of El Paso as being a city in Texas, but indeed it is, and it's a good city. I've never been there. I have some stereotypes that I'm sure other people do too, being a border city and recently being known for a lot of criminal activity, particularly south of the border. But I do understand that is that's a dynamic situation down there, and it's certainly not as bad today as it was just a couple of years ago. I have some other people that are from El Paso and know the area better, and I plan on talking to them in the next couple of days and getting a sense. One of the things, of course, that I had a concern about, and I'm sure other people will too, is the heat in July. But according to their promotional materials, it's an elevated desert climate, and so it's not quite as bad as say 90 degrees in Austin, which is going to be extremely humid. So that could work. Again, I don't have firsthand information with the city, but I'll be talking to people that do. And certainly with all the things that they're offering us, it's definitely a hard proposal to dismiss or to look away or not to give it a serious consideration. So I am impressed with the proposal so far.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that I had sort of mentioned offhand when Aaron was here at our festival was that, I mean, I was basically pointing to the team of volunteers that run the Austin Festival, and I was saying I would have a hard time getting them excited about El Paso. I still believe that's true, but, the thing is that, we don't have a lot of we have a lot of Austin jugglers who come to the festival, but we don't have a lot of Austin jugglers who are part of running the IJA, even though they are active with our festival. So I don't think that's necessarily an impediment. And like I said, I think that the lack of enthusiasm that my initial reaction brought was probably unjustified. I think that given time, we could get people excited about El Paso from all over Texas, because there are a lot of jugglers in Texas, and it's going to be a good day's drive from anywhere else in Texas. But I think that this is as close as it's been since 1991 when IJA was in St. Louis. It's never been any closer than that to the state of Texas. So I think I think the Texas jugglers would, given some time and the right publicity, would get excited about El Paso.
Great. That's good. Yeah, and I think looking at that, the two years in advance thing alone, to me, gives us a chance to build the excitement for people who might not be excited originally about the idea. Like you said, Jim, I mean, we have a lot of time to get people excited, and that's kind of up to the organizers. And
sure.
Sparks, Nevada, for example, wasn't an exciting place, but but we've got a lot of jugglers there.
One other thing I'd mention is if you look at 2015 in Canada and 2016 in El Paso, we've basically taken the festival border to border in 2 years.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of cool. I agree. And so speaking of the Mexico thing, at first I wasn't convinced that many Mexicans would come because it is pretty far away from any main juggling hubs in Mexico. I took a pretty thorough detailed look at maps yesterday from Mexico, and also talked to a juggler who does a lot of work for the IJA right now down in Mexico about, you know, if he really feels that we could build excitement from the Mexico scene. There's two main groups in the northern part of Mexico, in Hermosillo and Chihuahua, that are within six-hour drive or so. And both of the – well, Hermosillo especially has a good 40 to 50 jugglers at their club every year and super active. I just went to their festival, and it was great, and I could see them building a big excitement about it. Guadalajara, which has a huge juggling scene, they will often take a whole bus of jugglers to, like, Mexico City or to another festival that's a long ways away. That's about 10 hours from El Paso, which is less than how far it is from Mexico City. So if we approached the right crew in Guadalajara, I could see them really pushing for it. The one thing I approached people, too, about actually being specific Mexican promoters and if they would be willing to help push that side of things over the next 2 years, and both of them were super excited about the idea. The other thing I was wondering is that passport issue that you mentioned in the proposal, Mike, and how that works. Like, so you said people just need a Mexico passport and not a visa to cross the border?
I asked that question directly of Mexican nationals who come to work every day across the border and work in the Camino Real Hotel.
Okay.
Since they're full-time employed, they do need a work visa. But tourists can cross the border in both directions with nothing more than a valid passport. And thousands of Americans cross into Mexico every day to work, as do thousands of Mexicans crossing into El Paso to work every day. So it is a very high-capacity border in El Paso, and it is basically an open border for people with credentials.
Wow. It seems hard to believe, considering all the Border Patrol situations I hear about. But
yeah, but that's for people wanting to cross illegally.
That's pretty what?
Those problems are for people who want to cross illegally.
Right.
If you're a tourist visiting Mexico and want to come to the United States, you can do so just like Americans can cross into Canada.
Just with a passport and not an actual visa.
Right.
Okay.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And my other just let me finish this last little thing.
Go ahead.
My other concern was the like that concept, like I said, Guadalajara comes with a school bus, for example. What happens, you know, if that school bus comes and suddenly they're turned away at the border or something like that or whatever. That, I guess, would just be my primary concern is that it's not as easy as it might seem.
Well,
if it happens.
I think anyone organizing a group like that would want to work out the logistics ahead of time. They may have to transfer to a public bus in Mexico and come across that way. But, again, you know, tens of thousands of people cross the border in El Paso, Ciudad Juarez every day. So it is something that can be done. It's not a closed border. It's not like the Berlin Wall. If you have credentials, you can cross the border.
Okay. All right.
This is Jim again, and I'll just speak to one other thing that I hear from a lot of other people, not about El Paso, but about Texas in general. And that is, you know, with the country being extremely politically polarized right now, I mean, Texas has a bad reputation of just narrow-minded people in Texas. And I went to Northwest Arkansas last week, and you know, people were asking me, well, you know, are you afraid to even get outside of Austin? And you know, that I think is an exaggerated sense of you know, an exaggerated concern that people have, but it just struck me as something that the rest of the country does have a particular way of thinking about Texas that's not always favorable. And you know, I don't know if it's justified or not, but it's out there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other discussion from people? I'd love to hear some other board members' thoughts.
This is Scott. I have a just a quick question. Could we run through the? I'm sorry. Let me find out what page this is. The 2016 or 2017 festival estimated venue related hard costs.
Yes.
I can't really tell which page it's on, but it looks like it might be around 20 or 25.
It's page 19. Yes.
Okay. I just like to take a look at 19. The rebates that are listed on here. I just want to make sure that we're comfortable with the assumptions behind those rebates if we're going to use those dollars.
Okay.
So the room night rebate based on. Oh, go ahead.
Here's the assumption that I used in that sheet. We are going to be paid $10 per room night booked at the Camino Real Hotel with no minimum. They have offered us all the rooms we can use. And if we can get 800 or 1,000 room nights at the Camino Real, we will be paid for all of them. I am being much more pessimistic about it, and looking at our history, I know that some people will stay at Camino Real. Other people will stay at other downtown hotels. Other people will stay out by the highway where they can save a few dollars. So I only put in as many room nights at the Camino Real as I think is realistic for us, which is 500 out of what I would think would be about 800 total room nights, possibly more. So that 500 room nights would be at the Camino Real, and they're worth $10 each to the IJA.
Okay.
So that's the
5,000. So that part you feel would be fairly guaranteed.
I'm sorry, Aaron, I didn't hear that.
That's the rebate that you feel would be pretty realistic as far as the rebate.
Well, we need to do everything we can to urge people to stay at the Camino Real. If we can do that and we can convince enough people to spend 500 room nights at the Camino Real, we will have $5,000 in rebates paid to us.
Mm-hmm. And then the other two, the facility rental discount.
Yes. Now, as you read in El Paso's proposal, they are offering as much as $5,000 if we pick up 900 room nights. Again, I'm being less optimistic. I'm thinking we'll pick up a total of only 800 room nights. As their proposal reads, it is pro rata, so we would pick up 89% of the $5,000, which is $4,450. I verified all of these facts and the assumptions below them with the representatives from El Paso on Thursday before I finished this report and sent it out to you. So all of these assumptions are based on my discussions with them and our mutual understanding of the agreement.
Okay.
This is Jim. Mike, I noticed that the hard costs for El Paso are at the 37.5 range. And previously, last year, we were at Bowling Green with $29,000 in hard costs. And then the year before that, Winston-Salem, which had $49,000 hard costs. So clearly I understand that the convention center model is just a more expensive model. But can we compare that? Does anybody have a rough figure of what our hard costs are for Purdue?
Not exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Things up in the air.
Now, Jim, if I were asked to give a figure and I worked on the contract for this, I think our hard costs that we know of for Purdue are in the range of $20,000 to $25,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, Okay.
Now, as I explained, part of the reason Winston-Salem is about $10,000 higher is because we had that $10,000 mandatory food coverage requirement.
Right.
And I think it's amazing that El Paso is not even asking us for anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does seem that they are, you know, giving us as much room as possible to make it a successful fest, you know, without having all of these different, minimums and nickeling and diamonds. Yeah.
Well, let me put it in perspective. I've had this job for the IJA for about 5 years. I've received about 60 formal proposals from all kinds of venues. This is the only one that has offered us a straight-up room rebate, no minimum, no contract, and no attrition, any of the hotel rates, and actually a rebate for our rental facility rental needs. So I think it's pretty amazing. They know that it's a tough sell to get people to come and spend a week in El Paso in the middle of July, so they're working really hard to give us what we need to make it work.
Mike, I think you put your finger on it. It's wonderful conditions. It looks like a wonderful venue. I'd love to go to the IJA Festival there. It's really whether the IJA is confident that it can do the sort of publicity work to convince our membership that it's as wonderful as we all think it is. And we don't have a history of doing that, but we could
help
the stop.
Right. That's true. And as far as the heat, yes, Texas is hot, but remember, folks, it's hot everywhere the IJA goes. It was 109 degrees in Rochester, Minnesota 2 years ago. Broke every record they ever had. El Paso will be hot, but much drier, less humid. If you look at the weather history, they have a third to a half of the humidity that you'll find anywhere in the Midwest or South or East. And it's because they're at a higher elevation. The other thing is, you really don't have to do anything outside. All of our events are inside in air-conditioned facilities, and you'll spend about a minute to 2 minutes walking between venues. So it's very convenient. And if we want to hold outdoor events, they have a beautiful sunshade in the outdoor plaza. And as you can see in the proposal, they're building a beautiful city park with a very large sunshade just two blocks away as well.
Yeah. But as I say, I'm not sure we're arguing the conditions. I think they're excellent. I think we're trying to figure out whether we can communicate this to the membership and get them to El Paso.
Right.
And that's our concern.
Right. And
it's a valid concern, but I think we had a problem convincing people to come to a casino in 2010.
Yeah.
And yet we are able to do it. And that builds on my conviction that there is a certain core of people who come to the IJA convention no matter where it is.
That's right. I agree with that. And, you know, I've sort of been ringing this bell for a long time. And it's not always easy or comfortable to schedule events in unknown parts of the country, places where we've never been, because we have a history of going someplace out of our normal range and losing money. So that is definitely a concern. But I think long term, if we don't get out of this Midwest to East Coast box that we're in, we are never going to, you know, pull in members from other parts of the country, because there are jugglers everywhere. And until the IJA comes close to them, or until we come up with a special benefit that everybody wants, then we're just not going to appeal to those people. We're not going to be relevant to their juggling lives.
Mm-hmm. And looking at this specifically with the Mexico scene, for me, opens up a whole other bunch of jugglers that we've never appealed to before.
Yeah.
I agree. My first reaction was like, El Paso. Why El Paso?
Yeah.
I was very much committed to that. Reading the proposal, it's a great offer. The other thing I know has become a concern among the board several times is that thing of, like, now we've tried this college venue and we really liked it last year. I will agree with what you stated, Mike, that doing a college venue is as good as it was last year. We'll see how it goes this year. And being on the organizing team this year, it brings in a lot of extra
extra types of work that you don't necessarily have working with the convention center, and a lot more just less focus on your event. Like, for example, Purdue, their main focus is teaching kids, and so they stopped the actual event planning until May. And for us, that's not okay, but that's what they do because they're a university and that's their primary objective. Whereas the convention center, their primary objective is their events coming in.
Yeah, I think.
And let me point out, too, that El Paso is a for-profit customer service-oriented operation that depends on pleasing customers and getting repeat business and word of mouth. Purdue University is going to be there whether IJA is successful or not.
Right.
And they don't really need, they don't care about whether we're happy or whether we come back. They've got all the business they can handle, and they're a nonprofit state institution. Same with BGSU.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a different motivating factor, and everything that I've seen from El Paso tells me that they will work hard to cooperate and be our partner, and to you know, to bring a good festival to their city and make us proud to be there.
Okay. Any other board members that haven't talked yet that have thoughts on this, or
Nathan?
Oh, go ahead, Nathan.
I had one thing I wanted to mention. I was looking under the risk section of the Plaza Theater availability, and it said that there's no guarantee that we could even know if it's available until possibly this fall.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a little bit of a concern. Do you have any comments on that or a feel as to how likely that would be?
Well, I put all my comments and my recommendation in that same section there, Nathan. And, you know, if the board decides tonight to pursue a proposal or a contract from El Paso, that will be the first item on the list, is that we need to discuss contingency and availability at the Plaza Theater and possibly only sign a provisional contract until that can be locked in. And I think they completely understand how important having the plaza is for our success. And so I think we can negotiate with them and find something that works for both of us. But it is a risk.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But there is another theater option.
Got it.
It is not our only option. There is another theater in the convention center. It's way, way, way larger. I did not want it because with only 800 or 1,000 people in the audience, the house would look empty. So the plaza is perfect for us, but it may not be available. So we'll just have to work on that if the decision is made to pursue El Paso. That'll be the first item that we discuss.
Okay.
What's the cost of the alternative theater?
Well, I didn't even ask for a quote on it, Martin, because I only wanted the plaza. And so if we are talking to them about what happens if the plaza is not available, I would think our opening position would be that we want the substitution of the Chavez Theater at a discounted rate from what we would have paid for the plaza. In other words, we're taking something that we didn't really want in order to still bring the festival to El Paso, and so we want a concession on the use of a less than ideal theater for our needs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, when I say it's less than ideal, it's a spectacular, huge theater that seats, I think, close to 5,000 people.
Oh.
Yeah, it's as big as Radio City Music Hall. It's as big
Let's
as...
Let's sell it out, guys.
So we, yeah, it'd be nice.
Kidding.
But, you know, we don't want to look silly in there, so it's too big for our realistic needs, and that's why we are trying to get the plaza.
Right.
Yeah, and that was the Abraham Chavez Theater, right?
Yes. Yes, that's the alternate theater across the street.
Yeah. When I click on that website, I'm taken to El Paso Live, which has, you know, some information, but it has absolutely no specs on that theater, or for that matter, the Plaza Theater.
Right. No, I didn't include those. Again,
okay.
We are, you know, we're focused on getting the Plaza Theater written into our contract. And
yeah.
we don't really want to accept the Chavez Theater or anything else. So that will be the very first thing that we have to focus on with the contract if we decide to go to El Paso. And, you know, I think we can be strong enough to say that this is a condition of our accepting the contract, is that we won't sign the contract until we are assured that we will be in the Plaza Theater.
Hey, Mike, so we've got proposals for 2016 and 2017. If we were looking at a 2017 date, then would we have to wait until, say, a year from this summer or this fall to find out if we have the Plaza?
Yes, because right now at this time, they don't know what the Plaza's availability will be for these national shows 2 years, little over 2 years from now. So going to 2017 would push all of this back another 12 or 15 months.
Yeah, okay.
And it doesn't really help us to sign for 2017. We need to get someplace signed for 2016, and I am urging the board to accept El Paso.
Okay. Noel, I know you had something to say.
I'm going to say that my initial reaction to the venue was full of not enthusiasm. And I would say now I feel slightly more hopeful. For just to present my main concerns with the venue would be the image of the city of Juarez, the Ciudad Juarez. That is the big thing for me that I can see as even deterrent for myself if I were not knowledgeable. Just a rash amount of assumptions about the venue. And if you look at a map, it like literally touches El Paso all along the side of it. So, like, you know, you hear these rumors of the most violent city in the world, and that can maybe put an image into people's heads, like, about a place. So that's one of my, that's probably my biggest concern about the venue. But thinking about it more, I'm pretty positive, no matter whether if this was even, like, I don't know, not ideal, not saying it's not, but it's, I do like the idea of getting 2 years ahead of the game. You're having
yep.
festivals booked for 2 years ahead of time, which means that the energy, and I know Mike has been calling for a lot of this throughout the months here, but the energy around people who want a festival in a specific place can really be dedicated now for 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want it somewhere, like all of us, you know, we can really, really work hard to get that done. So at this point, despite the fact that I feel a little skeptical about the image, and I'm seeing ways that maybe that can be solved with, like, you know, Mexican jugglers, American jugglers, like high-fiving and stuff. I don't know, like cultural exchange or whatever way it's fun. But I feel very positive about it in terms of facilities, the cost. And I know that cost comes with the idea that clearly they want people to come to the town. They have a bad image, right? I mean, I think that's clear.
Right.
And so all these deals are getting cut for that reason.
Yeah.
And so as long as we're aware of that, I mean, we really just have it's whoever the marketing team for the festival, that's like the number one targeting situation because, I mean, it's cheap because of where it is. And, yeah, that's kind of just my main sentiments about it. But the airport stuff looks really promising and all the other things in the report that I saw. So, yeah, that's me.
Sweet. I find it really fascinating that, and Kevin actually brought this up to me yesterday. He goes, yeah, El Paso is rated number one most safe town in America. And I was like, what? And he's like, and Juarez is considered the number one most dangerous town. And they're separated by a river. And that's it. But that's the reality. So it's really fascinating. So promoting that, saying it's the number one safest town in America for 4 years running would probably help us, potentially. It is interesting.
Well, you know, I spent two nights walking around downtown El Paso completely by myself as a visitor who had never been there before. I'm a big guy, but I felt completely safe. I saw nothing that would give me any concern, no matter who I was. The streets are clean. The people are very friendly. There is a good police presence. It's not something where you're seeing a cop on every corner. They don't need that kind of police presence because it's a safe city. You have the army base. You have the university there. There's a lot of people around, and it just is not an issue. I don't see it as an issue at all. If you wanted to talk about a scary downtown, let's remember Reading, Pennsylvania.
We've been there, but...
Yeah, I think that was about 2003 or so, Jim. It was just, that was a ghetto.
That was 2002, right?
I remember running Pennsylvania, and I also remember that the only time I walked outside in the entire week was going to the show.
Yep.
And I was with a group of 100 people, you know, so
yeah.
I didn't really feel that out of place.
Fun.
Yeah, I think you can also go to Niagara Falls just a few years before that, and that was also not ideal.
Correct.
Yeah, we can find a lot of examples of where we're in areas of both economic depression or recession, as well as, you know, the criminal element or safety element. We've fared fairly well recently with some good mid-sized cities that have relatively clean and safe downtown districts, but we've been paying a high premium for those too. So.
Okay. Any other discussion, questions for my concerns? We do have a motion for this, so we do have more time for discussion during that as well. And also knowing that the motion to approve moving forward with El Paso means that then a contract would be drafted, which we would then have to approve as well. So it doesn't mean, yes, we're doing it. It means that we're moving forward to form a contract. Any other questions, discussion?
I'd like to thank everybody for the time they put in considering this. And again, I urge your support to accept El Paso.
Thank you, Mike. And thank you again for all your time. Very apparent that it's been a lot of work. All right. Moving on to the YJA reports from Ellen Winters. People get to read that. Main thing, they rolled out the button award system that's kind of been in the works for almost about a year, and they look great. The designs are great. They've been hugely well received on Facebook, and people are excited. I want to wear them. I would love to have a set myself, which is great because members can buy them for $2 each, and that money goes towards making more buttons for YJA participants. That's going to take me a while. Now the YJA. And they're going to be selling them at Kansas City Festival. They're going to be selling them at the IJA to try to do fundraising for the YJA. I'm pretty excited about that program.
I'm really excited about it too. And I'm with you on having the buttons and getting a few of those and for myself. I haven't heard much about this, much about the marketing of this new button program. Could you talk a little bit more about that, or is that something
the marketing of it?
Yeah.
So far, I mean, she's done a eJuggle article about it. It's been in the newsletter, and we've been promoting it on Facebook, both through the YJ page, the IJ page, her page, my page, all over the place. So it's been getting out, and then having like the table at. She like said she was planning to have a table at Kansas City where she can talk more about the program. The main thing right now, we don't want to increase the pod size too much because she's already like run out of the material she bought originally. So it's going to cost more than she originally thought. So that's why we're selling them to members to try to raise more money to make more. But I think the long-term goal would be to market this to more youth programs. Both that are already active and then getting more programs active. And kids can also achieve them on their own. Like they can send in, or in the future, not yet, but in the future, we want kids to be able to send in a video of them juggling six balls to prove that they got it. And then we can send them a button and stuff so they don't have to actually be part of the pods physically. Also, like there's a bunch of youth groups that are exploding right now in Mexico, and they're really excited about this concept and the button rewards program. So potentially either having them translated in Spanish someday or just doing the English ones too is an option there. But yeah, does that answer your question?
It does.
Okay.
If Ellen is running out of money for the, or running out of materials for the original set of buttons she was making, is it a wise idea to change the amount to pay to, or to get the achievement buttons for adults?
She actually lowered it from $3 to $2, so apparently she's doing okay.
I mean, but if you said that she's running out of materials and things, I mean, but she's That could cover her costs, I guess. I don't want her going into.
I'm not sure why she decided to do that. So that would be a discussion to have with her. But apparently, I think she's doing it. I mean, she ran out of the buttons quicker than she thought. We still have plenty of money in the bank account or the YJ fund right now to continue making them for a while. That's something like buying one button will provide the materials for 10 more buttons. Something like that was what she equated.
So, just in the well here, I've just produced a massive run of pins. I know the button is a thing, but the pins are like the metal embossed. There's like a wide variety of options, but they have like really nice clutches on the back that prevent them from falling off stuff. And I would just put it out there, maybe just mention to her that I lapel pin superstore. I don't know. But basically you can get these pins in a wide variety of like styles and stuff, colored, whatever. And it'll cost you about $2 a pin, maybe even $2.50. And it gets like significantly cheaper in the higher quantity. And I would bet for under $1,200 you get all these pins and be stacked for years. But if that was a concept, because I know the button making process is not exactly time efficient.
Right, totally. Right. And I think the main thing there is right now we have something like 12 different styles, so it would be buying 12 different pins would be my concern financially there at this time.
Long-term-wise,
I think that would be better. What's that?
If she were to fundraise, the buttons were to fundraise in order of each of the types of pins or whatever it was that's manufactured sort of massively. Maybe that's a way, like each one at a time could be funded.
Right. Yeah, that could be cool.
Instead of making them twice, it would probably
It's definitely time-consuming, man. I'm impressed that her engagement.
Apparently,
they have little button-making parties and make a whole bunch of buttons together, so that's awesome that they're doing that. Yeah, I agree. Definitely not inefficient. Yeah, and as we start selling more, that would definitely become even more of an issue. So, you already put that in. Thank you, Nathan. Lapel Pin Superstore. Good to know.
And if you want, I can show you the pins if you guys need one, take a picture of them. I have like four different ones I just ordered.
I have one. I got one.
It's
pretty cool. I love it. Parachute. Okay, cool. Any other discussion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on to marketing with Sal Johnson. He's not here and didn't turn in a report, so we don't have anything there for now. Mainly, I think the main promotion we're focusing on right now is the festival, things like the championship deadlines and such. As well as World Juggling Day, and then the Mexico IRC coming up. Any discussion regarding marketing? Okay. Moving on to the IRC. June 29th. That will be full video coverage of it for AJ members. And, I wrote the whole thing about offering reduced IJ membership rates at the Periplo Festival, which will be a motion later on as well. Any discussion from folks? Okay.
I got a question.
Oh. Yeah.
I got a question. Sorry. I'm just looking at the procedure you guys are planning on they're planning on using for the special memberships. It looks like anyone who wants to register has to, I guess, have access to a computer, which is something that we've been, you know, hoping for, or we've been trying to do for the past couple of years. Is there any way we can streamline this a little bit? Can we have a computer at the festival with people where people can sign up so they don't have to manage a spreadsheet and then?
It's probably not at a place where there's internet and stuff. I'm not sure.
Most people in Mexico have a computer, it's not a problem at this point.
Okay.
So that's, yeah, me and Juan tried to figure out, I was even thinking like they could pay right there and Juan could transfer the money to us, but he said they aren't accepting money on site. They would have to like send them down to a bank down the road to deposit it. I was just like, whoa.
Hmm.
So this was our main way that we thought it would be an option. But pretty much everyone has computers and Apple cell phones and all kinds of things. And PayPal works with most banks in Mexico, so it's not a problem there too because we can only accept through PayPal. Whereas in like Chile, it's really hard because banks don't accept PayPal in Chile very often. So that Mexico shouldn't be too much of a problem. It would definitely be an experiment because it's something that could be an option for other festivals in the future that we develop relationships with. I love that it's like basically they'll have a sign saying sign up for the IJA, you know, and it's basically free promotion for us, which is great. I'm really encouraging people as they sign in and register to sign up for it and stuff, but figuring out the actual process definitely be one of the challenges.
So I guess the second half of my question though was, is there some way we can streamline this so we don't have to manage a separate list?
Say that again.
Is there some way we can streamline this so Juan doesn't have to manage a separate list and Heather doesn't have to, you know, do whatever she needs to do? Can we just create the special registration page and then have people sign up on site, for example?
Well, that's the thing is I don't know if they have computer or internet access there for them to sign up on site. I could ask Juan. I could definitely ask them if that's an option. If they did, that would be great, but I don't know if they would have that.
Okay. Well, I guess if we can't, then that works, but.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of a pain.
If we could make it easier for Juan, he would probably be more likely to do it again later. The easier you make it, the more likely people are to repeat.
Right. And he said on his end, he thinks that piece sounds easy. I think it's more like Heather having set up another page, which she said she thinks is pretty doable. Martin, did you have any thoughts as far as how complicated that would be?
Setting up another page is very easy, you know, 15 minutes, 10 minutes of time, and then, you know, figuring out what's the discount going to be and how that's going to be managed. But I don't think that's a problem. Pretty easy.
Okay. And we could have it all in Spanish, since this is specifically for people in Mexico.
Yeah, that would certainly be good. We do have. It would be a little tricky to. By the way, if you had suppose you had a computer there at the festival, and people were joining the IJ through that computer, but they would have to be actually paying through that computer. So that brings up risks of password stealing on that computer.
Okay.
Like PayPal account.
And there's the thing of like if they don't have a PayPal account yet, they have to set up a PayPal account. Like I just feel like this way could end up being easier, and also like they'd have to be signing up right at that registration table. Where it might be already kind of crowded and they're trying to deal with their own festival registration and stuff. So trying to keep it where it doesn't affect their flow of registration. Yeah.
To be honest, I don't think you're going to get more than 5 or 10 people.
And 5 or 10
people is not going to be it's not going to be a hassle to sign those up for us. You know, and I'm not sure it's worth putting a whole lot of effort into making it easier there, like someone collecting the money. That's just a bit of a hassle at all.
Right. Yeah. It could very well not bring in too many people, but it's a good experiment, I think. Okay. But I agree, Scott, future-wise, figuring out a way to streamline it if we were to do it again or whatever would be great. Any other discussion? Okay, moving on to World Juggling Day. It's coming up June 14th. Things are going well. Jeremiah Johnston is the main organizer. Main thing right now is that we're discussing about the whole Ripley's thing. I wrote about it, but yeah, basically the guy who kind of spearheaded it from Ripley's last year, the VP, he retired. And so he's like, yeah, sure, they'll probably want to do it again, but it's kind of not had somebody spearheading it, and it was a lot of extra work on my end. While there was also a lot of benefit, that's just something that needs to be considered for Jeremiah. Like, it's a good amount of work to try to organize
30 different groups of people around the world to go into Ripley's, believe it or not, application. So we're just kind of weighing whether or not it's doable from a volunteer perspective right now. We did have somebody step forward who wants to do, first we weren't going to do the collaboration video again because of the complications that happened this year with it and kind of taking a long time and stuff. But we did have somebody step forward who is a professional editor and was really excited about doing it. And so we're going to try to move forward with it, which I think is great because I think those videos are wonderful. Any discussion from folks? Invite your friends to the World Zoning Day event on Facebook. Okay. And then moving on to membership. Last time I checked, it hadn't been updated for this month. But it is now. Go Maryland. So we're at 1,121 membership records currently. 1,315. Just for any board members that weren't at our planning meeting this month, we had a big membership brainstorm of ways that we can really work to try to, increase membership, basically. So that's the second link on the agenda. And our plan was for at the next planning meeting in May to kind of decide a plan of action to actually follow through with that, some of those brainstorm ideas, and kind of prioritize and really figure out which ones are doable in the near future and would be the most effective. So if the folks that weren't at the meeting could review that, and we'll probably start an email discussion about it even before that meeting just to kind of see, how best to move forward with it. Any discussion?
This is Jim. I'm speaking now as affiliates director, and I want to apologize to everybody because I still don't have that report out that I promised Lloyd a couple of weeks ago that I would have to you guys. But we did have a good discussion, and I believe that there are ways ultimately that the affiliates program can possibly result in some new memberships. But I'm also open to some other ideas, brainstorming ideas that others may have. But in terms of what's happening with affiliates right now, and don't want to hijack the meeting, but if this is a good time, then I can just sort of update everybody where we are there. I talked, the one benefit that I was working on before I had my accident was with insurance, and I talked to cannot think of his name, but the guy with the insurance company in Philadelphia, who they also manage our individual membership policies. But he wasn't terribly interested in setting up a one package deal for IJA affiliates in terms of underwriting their liability insurance. He's more interested in working with each group one-on-one, find out, how many members they have, how often they meet, what kind of activities they have, and then just sort of coming up with estimating a premium on a one-on-one basis. And the premium he came up for our group here in Austin was $1,200 for an annual policy that would cover our weekly meetings as well as our annual festival. And then a few other events that we have outside of our weekly meetings. I told him that probably wasn't going to happen in our case, mainly because while a year-round coverage would be nice for our peace of mind, right now we're getting by with just doing event insurance once a year, and that cost us about $400.
Right. Yeah, that's on the cheap side, for sure.
Yeah. So he didn't seem particularly helpful. I mean, our conversation sort of got sidetracked because he's still facing some frustrations because there is no way to at this point for him to verify even individual memberships because of the way that our different systems are yet to be integrated. So sort of derailed into a conversation on that, and then my intention was to try and find some other insurance underwriters to see if he was even in the right ballpark. I have not done that yet. But I'm also talking, I went up to Northwest Arkansas talking to some of the clubs up there, namely Kansas City and Fayetteville clubs, and the Tulsa clubs too, about what could the IJA offer individual affiliates. And so it seems that, it just depends on the club. And so my goal at this point is to come up with a questionnaire that we can send to about 10 or 12 of the largest clubs, and then a more general questionnaire that we can poll every juggling club, and so that we can see exactly what shape this program should take. What are the things, what are the common needs that different organizations have, and how can we serve those needs? And I think that's the best chance that we have of skimming some memberships off of all of these local organizations and local clubs that have jugglers. But like I was saying earlier, there's no reason for them to join the IJA at this point. So, but I do hope to get a membership program in place that is attractive to juggling clubs of all sizes and shapes. But I entertain any thoughts that others might have on that.
Okay. Yeah, I think it would be good. I know there was an original plan back in the day about potentially having a meeting with like Lloyd, and I know Noelle was interested in potentially being a part of it, and yourself to just discuss kind of the direction of affiliates and how it might both offer things to the club and, yeah, how it could help the IJA too and different things like that. So I think that would be a good thing to just have that brainstorming session.
Is there anybody, Noelle and Lloyd, is there anybody else that's interested in brainstorming on this? All right. So does email work better for those involved?
I think we need to set up a call, but since there are only three of us, that ought to be easy.
Okay. I can probably set that up if Aaron can help me with the you're talking about AccuConference?
There's also a thing called freeconferencecall.com.
Okay.
It doesn't charge the IJ anything, freeconferencecall.com,
right.
And you can just set it up. It has instructions online and stuff.
So this is Noah. I'm definitely still interested in helping, but I want to say that I'd probably be able to help on a call and maybe about an hour of work a week on anything in this project related, because my festival season is picking up sort of at the high gear starting mid-May. So if all could occur as soon as possible, get some ideas down, I can have some objectives sort of hammer through as I get into the season. Just saying, I'm down to meet, but sooner is better than later. That's all.
Well, I think we need the benefit of your experience, but I agree that sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, so freeconferencecall.com. I've never actually set a call up through there, but it should be fairly self-explanatory. Just research it a little bit and then figure out a time for you guys.
I'm looking at the website now.
Okay. Cool. So maybe I'll just email Noelle and Lloyd and set that. All right. Let's move forward.
I have one more thing about the membership brainstorming list. I wanted to let everyone on the call know that we at the IJA are now set up to participate through the Amazon Smile program, which donates a small percentage of every purchase done through their special Amazon webpage to the nonprofit of your choice. So I sent that out a few weeks ago, I believe, to the board, and I sent some information to Scott over at the e-zine, and I think he put that up somewhere. So that is something that we are participating in now. The first, we would be getting payments over $5 quarterly if we have any money coming to us. But that we won't be getting anything until at the earliest, probably the middle of August. Just
as far as promotion side goes, like talk to Kyle, and I can do that about kind of promoting that exists. So basically, yeah, any order somebody makes on Amazon, a portion of that will go towards the IJAS nonprofit if they choose that as their nonprofit to benefit. So that's pretty cool. Christmas time especially will be a good time to like really push that.
Yeah, and I got to say, it's really easy. I've already made like $50 in purchases on Amazon through the Smile program. So we're going to be getting something.
Great. Yeah, go Scott. Sweet. That's cool. Thanks for setting that up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other discussion? Moving on to financial report. Scott Krause.
Okay. So our current cash balance is $15,445.77 as of today. I apologize for not getting a full financial report out earlier. The day kind of got away from me. One of the things that I'm
a little concerned for the.
Sorry, it was $15,445.17. That is our balance in the general fund. We also have $31,501 in the account that is linked to the festival income.
Okay.
So we are $46,000 in cash on hand. That is with 176 festival registrations as of the last flash registration report that Mike sent out. And I don't remember how many people are budgeted or how many people we had in the budget or we're expecting for the 2014 festival. But I'd imagine that we could expect at least another 100 more. So I think we're in a pretty good position right now.
We had a budget of 350, so hopefully more than 100.
Okay, yeah. So we should expect about 180 more, which would put us back up to where that would be, you know, where we were last year at this time. So no worries about that. One of the things that I would like to discuss when we get to the motions for consideration is the timing of payments, especially for the contract with Jagip Ninilu, because I want to make sure that we're not committing to too many payments without the cash flow to be able to handle them all. So when we get there, I'd like to talk about that one. I guess it's the same thing for the El Paso, Texas festival proposal, but if we're not to the point of signing a contract with them, we're just talking about moving forward with negotiating a contract. You know, I'm not worried about that.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's definitely something the theater contract requires a specific amount that we voted on last month, requires a specific amount paid up front as well. So it's definitely a thing to be aware of.
Okay, and are there any questions or comments or things I need to look up?
I had just a quick thing. Holly sent us the form that needs to be submitted by May 15th.
Yeah, the form 990.
View that, and, yeah.
Right, and there's one document that I have that I'm not sure she has access to, which I need to verify the information is right. Income for interest on our existing balances with a bank account, but it's a minimal amount. I think what I need, or the most important thing from the board members, is the amount of the average amount of hours, number of hours you spend per week on IJA
2013.
For 2013. Correct. Holly put in some placeholders, but I would like to get that directly from the board members. And I'd be happy, and I will post that information on the bulletin boards and have people and ask for people to respond. And as Aaron mentioned, that is due by May 15th. So we are putting that, I mean, that has been drafted, and we would like to put that in much before May 15th, just to get it off our plates.
And maybe an email, as much as I would love to say that you'll get responses on the forums. That hasn't been the case so far. I know there's still some board members that I don't think have signed up for it. So either that or people can commit to signing up.
Yeah, I will reach out. I'll reach out in several ways.
Okay.
Can we interject something here about board members reading the forum, or at least subscribing to the forum, so the board plus and board forum, so that they get quickly notified of new messages? I don't know if you all know about this, but it's easy enough to subscribe to, once you've logged into the forum, to subscribe to the board forum and the board plus forum, and then anytime someone posts a message there, you'll get emailed their message. I think if at least for replies, maybe for new messages, you get just a simple message that says there's a new topic. And so this way, you don't have to look at the forum every day, although I would recommend that otherwise.
Great. Yep. Thanks, Martin. Yeah, it would be great for people to just check in general. Okay, my power went out, so I'm waiting for the agenda to come back up. Now the power's back on. Can somebody tell me what the last report is?
Website report.
Okay. Website report. And Mike, I just put you in there just because I know we have an update from our donor.
Right. Well, as you and Lloyd know, we've been in communication with a potential donor willing to support the project. I sent him a proposed plan of action a week ago Friday, and we haven't heard anything back since then. So right now, I don't know the status of that, but if anything's going to happen, the ball is in their court at this point, and we're standing by.
Mm-hmm. And primarily just so people, kind of caught up, the donor was really excited about the idea of supporting the website, said that they could commit to supporting the cheapest version of the AMS system for 5 years, to which Mike responded, encouraging the more expensive version just for various reasons, which I support. And so that's where we're kind of waiting to see what the response will be on that end. Okay. Thank you, Mike. All right. Done with the reports. Moving on to motions. First, motion to approve a contract with Turbo 418 for the 2015 IJA Festival. Does somebody want to make the motion?
This is Noel. I will make the motion.
Anyone want to second the motion?
This is Lloyd. I second.
Okay. And any discussion?
So items 6 and 8 in regard to where fees and payments will go, it looks like there are specific categories called out for the IJA, as well as one category for Turbo, which is on-site canteen and merchandise. Are there any other categories or fees that need to be in there? Because I don't know. I don't really know what an et cetera would mean there.
In the number 6?
Yeah.
All proceeds traditionally associated with IJA festivals and their shows, i.e. registration fees, entry fees, ticket sales, IJA merchandise, et cetera, will go to the IJA. Yeah, I mean, we can try to elaborate.
Well, the canteen. Well, the canteen makes sense to me. That's a canteen.
Well, that's number 8, right?
Yeah.
He's talking about number 6, like what the et cetera is. What are the regular associated IJA expenses? But yeah, canteen definitely makes sense. I agree.
Yeah, we just couldn't think of all of them, and so we, you know, that et cetera, I think, is good for us.
I mean, it seems to have the major categories, so I'm
just
want to.
Yeah, that's going to be the main things that we get money from.
ticket sales, registration fees, merchandise. Yeah, as far as I know, that's our main income. And I think the main thing for them is the canteen is their only income, pretty much.
Never mind. I was going to say merchandise, and I'm like, oh, there it is, IJ merchandise right there.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right. Hearing none, we will move to a vote. Anyone opposed to the motion? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Okay, moving on to motion to approve the contract with Cégep Le Moilu as the gym and camping space for the 2015 IJA Festival. Anyone want to make the motion?
This is Scott. I'll make the motion.
This is Noel. I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion?
So it says that the payment terms, payment is due at the bill reception, the price may rise. What exactly does
that mean? Where is that?
That's if you see there's total due of $14,113.18, straight left of that. There's some little tiny prints.
Oh, payment is due at the bill reception. The price may rise.
Now, I'm guessing
I'm guessing it's translation from French.
Exactly. But the price may rise is kind of freaky.
Right, right. And where is star? It looks like that's supposed to go with a star of some kind. I'm not entirely sure, but I can ask for clarification on that and make sure that it's resolved before signing it.
And the bill reception, I'm kind of curious about when that would be. Is that, do they bill after the event, or do they have a 30-day prior to the event, or half at signing, or half after? You know, I just like...
Right, totally. Yeah, it's not outlined here. I can talk to Veronique about that as well. Yeah, like in the theater when it was very much outlined when the payment was expected, whereas here it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally we would aim for after this year's festival, I guess.
Correct.
And even, yeah, percentage after this year's festival and percentage as we get closer.
Honestly, if we can do it after registration starts, that would be best.
Right.
For next
right.
year's festival, because that's when we will have our highest cash level.
Income stream. Okay.
And I know that kind of comes down to, you know, do we want to have, you know, early bird registration again, and what are the levels and things like that that haven't been decided yet. But I would say at the very earliest, like February or March. But we would like to have it, you know, after the festival has taken place and they are billing us. That's kind of what I'm hoping for. But definitely got to get that figured out first.
Okay. All right. So it's up to people. We can vote on this knowing that we don't know these answers, and I can confirm it with Veronique and write the board before like moving forward with actually signing it, if people are okay with that.
Yep.
I would be okay with that.
Okay. Yeah, she's really good at being able to check in with folks and and that's also something I'll have her. I know it's one thing we talked about with the theater, but I'm pretty sure theirs was payment is due, or a percentage of payment is due upon
receipt of the contract, so that was something I was going to discuss with them before I signed that one as well. We voted on it last month, but I'm still fine-tuning it before.
Aaron,
a final version. That's the one, like 30-something pages.
Yeah, I just found on here deposit of $1,000 is required at the contract signature. So
there you go. Right.
Still
that's what I had thought. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But still want to know when the rest of the
what's
papers
that?
Do. But still want to know when the rest.
Like the rest. Right. 1,000 and 10,000 and 30,000. Where is that exactly? I thought I had read that too.
The fifth line under other specifications.
Oh yeah, there we go. The deposit of 1,000 Canadian dollars is required at the contract signature. Okay. And do you think that is that we have the money for that currently?
We do. Another translation item, no visitors will be admit and each participant must be identified.
No visitors will be admitted and each participant must be identified.
I think it means you've got to have a ticket.
Right, you got to be a participant of the festival in order to attend. But we can fix the, make it more proper English as well.
Okay.
So basically people have to have their wristband or whatever identification in order to enter the gym. And also, yeah, there's just a lot of spelling errors that I can ask to have fixed before signing. Only Canadian dollars will be accepted for the payment. Yeah, that's one thing Holly said. Paying through debit card, it immediately will immediately do the, what's it called?
Conversion.
Not translation. Thank you, conversion into Canadian dollars. So that's an option, is to get a debit card for Vero to pay with for a lot of the bills and expenses and stuff. And it'll do an immediate conversion. Okay. More discussion? All right, moving on to a vote. Anyone opposed to the motion? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Okay, moving on to motion C, motion to approve the El Paso Texas Festival proposal for the 2016 IJA Festival. Would somebody like to make the motion?
This is Scott. I'll make the motion.
We have a second.
Lloyd, I second.
Any further discussion on this topic? Again, knowing that this does not mean it's the official place, but that we move forward with making a contract.
This is Noel. I just want to maybe write a note that whoever we make the contract with, we begin working with some kind of marketing team immediately on site and get that to whoever can work on that for the festival. Maybe it's Jim or somebody else.
Okay. I will also add that for me, knowing that we have a potential director and somebody who I trust, no pressure, Jim. Definitely gives me bigger ease of going into this now, and as opposed to feeling like we have the stress of also finding a director.
And I am not yet committed to being the director, but I am definitely considering it, and I would also consider being co-director if anybody wants to jump in there with me.
Okay.
Just for scheduling, Jim, do you happen to have any thoughts on when you might when we might be able to make a decision on that, or you might have your own decision and we can start thinking about assigning a festival director?
Well, you know, I just started reading this proposal last night, and until I read the proposal, I wasn't really giving it much thought at all, but it's certainly on my mind now, and I'll be talking to some folks, and I suspect I could probably, if the board decides to start negotiations on the contract, I could probably have a decision by the IJA Fest this year.
Wonderful.
Great. And also, Jim, just so you're aware, like I would be happy to, you know, help out with specifically the Mexico promotional side of things.
Absolutely. I would absolutely count on your support there.
Okay.
My Espanol, not so good.
Yeah. And I think in order to attract a big Mexico scene, having some key Mexico performers.
Absolutely.
Sure. Which I definitely know who those key, I already made a list of the key performers that I think would draw a crowd. So. Okay. Any other discussion? All right. Let's move to a vote. Is anyone opposed to the motion?
Uh-uh.
Any abstentions? Motion passes.
Thank you, everyone. I'll get on the phone with El Paso tomorrow and start the ball rolling. I appreciate all your effort.
I also want to say thank you, Mike, so much. I know that you might
have been
resistant tide the entire time. And,
thanks for pushing it through.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Appreciate your work.
Thank you. I think everybody will sleep a little bit better if we can get 3 years ahead.
Oh, that would be amazing. That part alone excites me thoroughly.
And I would also just throw in there, given the EJC's recent kind of insanity in finding a venue for the upcoming year, this makes me really happy. You're going to Calgary, which is awesome, but it was very stressful for the EJA. So I'm happy that we are not in that stress.
Yeah,
totally. That's how I feel about Canada even. Yeah, it feels good. All right. Great. Woo, that's exciting. Okay, moving on to Motion D. Motion to approve offering a special IJA membership rate of $24 for adults and $19 for youth at the Periplo International Circus Festival in Guadalajara, Mexico. Would somebody like to make the motion?
This is Lloyd. I make it.
Okay, and a second?
This is Jared. I second.
Great. And do we have any discussion?
So how does the $19 and $24 price points translate into pesos? Is that
pesos,
right?
Pretty much 240 pesos and 190 pesos. It's pretty much times 10 generally. It's actually times 11. So it is still on the pricey side. In Mexico, 200 pesos is considered quite a lot.
I'm just thinking that it might be worthwhile to think about the magic price points. You know, I know those are a marketing thing in the United States, but you know, with the nines and the fours and things like that.
Right.
Is it worthwhile to think about the magic price points and see if we can hit something that's more appropriate, you know, in Mexican money?
Right.
I mean, I don't have an answer for that. I don't know much about it.
It's basically 199 pesos. You know, that would take it basically down to $19 for both. I don't know what those are exactly. I do think having it under 200 pesos would make it more appealing, just from my knowledge of folks and their reactions to pesos. But it does bring in less income for the IJA, so depends on how we want to balance that.
Right now, Google tells me that $24 is 315 pesos. 315.
Yeah. So. Dang, that's a lot of pesos.
So maybe we should make it 290 pesos. I mean, as they say, it's. I don't think we're going to get a lot of these. And whatever we get, they're going to be, you know, bonus income to the IJA.
Right.
So. 290 fits in with the idea of having a, you know, a nice price point.
Right. It'd be good to see, like, how much their festival costs.
just look up really quick just to know how much they're spending on the festival itself, because it's less than how much we're offering a membership for. We would be very likely to not get any registration. Let me just look that up really quick.
And $19 comes to 249 or 250 pesos.
Okay. So that might be, yeah, which is what we lowered. Like last year, we lowered the WJD thing to $19 for adults and $14 for youth.
That's right.
Is with also the other thing that I was going to present, and I decided to go for the $5 deduction instead of the $10, but it might get us more memberships, to be honest.
I would say go with the you know, more like the $10, and then
$10 discount.
And then, you know, find a good price point. Maybe it'll be $8. I don't know.
Great. So the convention's 950 pesos. So, and that includes the. Oh no, that does not include. They have to get hostels and stuff as well. So,
850 to 10.
I would favor the $10 discount if other people are willing to support that, and we could amend the motion. What are other people's thoughts? Knowing that pretty much all of them will be members we likely would not have otherwise. And
all right, now,
in the future.
$19 and $14 would be 249 pesos and 183 pesos. At the current rate, according to Google.
Okay.
So, I mean, maybe we should set it.
Which the 249 kind of seems like that's a good nine number, like you were saying, Scott, the 250, basically.
Yep.
Right. It'll change by the time the festival happens.
And they can promote it, like, with a sign saying, usually, you know, could you see what $29 would usually be, Martin?
What's that?
What would $29 be?
$29 is 380.
Okay, so yeah, saying usually 380, cross it out or whatever, and now it's 249, special rate for parity flow attendees or something like that. Could be an option.
So do you want to price it in pesos at this point? That will set the price to them. That means we
what that?
We know.
What's that?
It would, if we put it in pesos, if we set the price in pesos, then it fixes the price for them, and we don't have, and we can set a good price point, as you say. If we fix it in dollars now, then you know the price in pesos will change.
Right, definitely. Yeah, I'd be fine with setting it in pesos. 249 pesos, and maybe $189. 189 youth?
I'd say 179.
179?
183 is $14, so 179 would have been nice, somehow nicer number than 189. I mean, it's cheaper. So I'm very happy giving, you know, Mexican youth a little more discount if them to come in.
Right. Did you say 179 or 159? Or what did you say?
I said 179.
179.
To go along with
yeah.
Along with $249
okay.
Is actually $19 currently.
Right. Yeah. Board, do you guys think that's a good amendment?
Yep, I do.
Sure.
Okay. Lloyd, would you be willing to make that amendment?
Yes, I would.
Okay. So then to document that.
How does that get worded?
We actually changed the motion itself, Martin. I forget. It's been a while.
Just change the rate to $224 per adult to 249 pesos. 249 Mexican pesos.
Pesos.
Mexican pesos. Must be other kinds of pesos. So taking dollars kind of.
There are. It's true. Mexican pesos, adults, and 179. Mexican pesos for use.
Okay. Great.
So I guess.
So that was amended by Lloyd. Jared, can you second that amendment?
Yes.
Okay. I know you had it on mute. Was there any other discussion? Okay. We will move to a vote then. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Great. Thanks, guys. Okay, moving on to Varia. Let's try to make each one fairly quick so we can wrap this up. Bookkeeper position discussion with Lloyd.
We just need to set up a time for a call. I wasn't able to manage the doodlebug and ask Scott to help out. I think he suggested. But we've got several possibilities lined up, and we can if we can arrange a call, we can interview them.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much what we're waiting on, right?
Right.
So, Scott, are you willing to help with setting that up? What is it? Doodlebug?
It's a website called doodle.com, and it's used for finding scheduling between many people. It's a free setup.
Okay.
So
you set that up within the next few days?
Yeah.
Move forward with this as quick as we can.
Yeah, Lloyd sent me that on Thursday, it looks like. But, yeah, I'll send out the doodle thing tomorrow.
Okay. I know for interviewing, it was Lloyd and Scott, and possibly Holly. And I'm fine.
I guess I'll send you the name of what I think is the top guy, and we would, get him on the doodle and interview him first.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, please do it.
If it's just going to be the three of you, just an email discussion, or if he presents three times that work for him, something, yeah, but maybe doodle's the best way. But just doing a group email to figure it out could be time efficient as well, whichever you feel is best. Did you want me on the call? I can't remember, Lloyd. I know we didn't want too many people present. It was kind of...
Aaron, we want you on the call.
Okay. All right. And I did write Holly just kind of apologizing that it's taking so long, and she wrote back to saying, I'm so glad there's candidates. I'd much rather pass this on to somebody who's competent than not, and didn't seem at all concerned about the time thing, so that's good. But still, to respect her wishes, trying to get it done as quick as possible would be great.
Yeah, okay. So Lloyd, can you send me over the name and contact info or email address of that top candidate that you want to have interview first?
I'll do it.
Yeah, send that over to me and I'll take care of it.
Great. Thank you, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So, any other discussion? And festival promo, get the word out. That's just a very thing to just encourage everyone to really encourage their friends to attend as much as possible, help share things when they're posted on Facebook, whatever. We're at 176 sign-ups, and Martin predicted, and it's turning out to be the case, that not many more people would sign up until June 30th. So we're kind of on hinges to know whether or not we're going to have a strong pre-registration or not, but we're really hoping for it. So any way we can get the word out is great. I did just have a 14-year-old call me saying he's saving $1,000 to attend the festival right now. I thought that was adorable. And C, International IJ board members. I just wanted to let folks know that a guy contacted me. He's originally from Argentina, currently living in Budapest in Hungary. Gave me his full background. He's a marketing professional, has worked a lot for nonprofits, and is also an avid juggler and is very interested in being on the board. He currently works for Nokia, so something like calling in from an international location is no problem for him. He's also been an English translator and done a lot of work on the English side, so he's fluent in both Spanish and English, and has a lot of experience with budgeting and financials and stuff. Super interested in running for the board of directors. We don't have currently have any international IJ board members. I don't know if we have in the past, but I don't know if there would be any complications or anything like that that I should be aware of in talking with him. Martin and Mike, I just kind of wonder, historically, do you guys know any information?
There shouldn't be any problem. I mean, you know, if getting to the festival, if he wants to come to the festival, is the hardest part.
Right.
We had American board members in Europe. Todd Strong was in Europe for a while, but he obviously wasn't European. He was American, but he was living in Europe while on the board. And that was harder because he had to get up at like 3 a.m. to join a conference call.
Totally. That's the main thing. Yeah, timing.
what country is he in?
He's in Hungary.
This guy's in Hungary.
Yeah.
Okay. So that again, the logistics of the conference call is the hardest part.
Right. Right. The timing and everything. Yeah. And I said that there was an international call-in number. But that I wasn't sure of, like, international fees and how much that would cost him. And he said because he works for Nokia, he can call anytime he wants anywhere in the world and he doesn't get charged for it. So that's not a concern on his end, but mainly the timing. I love that he has fluency in Spanish, too, because maybe he can be that Spanish translator we've been looking for Itago.
Is he involved with the Hungarian Juggling Festival, which I noted was coming up in a couple of months?
I'm not sure, but I would assume so. Yeah, I'm not too sure, but he says he goes to festivals regularly. Yeah, hobbyist juggler. And on that note, that's one. And then I know Nathan's planning to rerun, and then we're still looking for two more board members for nominations. So anyone who you want to talk to and encourage to run, strongly recommend it. The deadline is May 15th. So getting all four folks on board by then would be great.
Has this been posted
Jim's
on Facebook
still on the call?
At all?
What's that?
Has it been posted on Facebook at all?
Well, yep, it's been posted twice on Facebook. We'll post it again probably May 1st.
Good. Good notice.
I was going to do a personal post, just really encouraging people and talking about the perks of being on the board. And the benefits and stuff. And I know last year, like a lot of people, or pretty much all three of the people that ran were from personal outreach. So that's the main way that I've seen board members run. So, all right. Let's set our main meetings. The calendar. Excuse me, I'm just looking at my phone calendar right quick.
Hey, Aaron, before we move on to May meetings,
what's that?
I have a couple.
Oh, yeah.
This is Scott. I have a couple of questions about the festival, the 2014 festival, and I don't think there's anything that needs to be addressed here at the board meeting, but
mm-hmm.
The festival director group, do they have a monthly call or something where I could pose a few questions, or should I send those to you and Cody, or how would I ask those?
Definitely, and I was actually going to write you too because I have some questions for you, knowing you're the treasurer and everything, and some questions Civica's brought up and stuff. We do have a weekly call this, what is it, Noel, Tuesday at 7
yep.
p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Yeah.
Oh, I might actually be able to make it this week if that's okay.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe just shoot Cody an email at festival2014@juggle.org and just let him know that you'd like to be on the call, and he can send you the invitation from Google Calendar.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, that would be great.
Scott, I have a question on the cash that you reported.
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes.
You said 15K general fund, 31K festival income. Does either of those include the $9,400 that we have in PayPal right now?
It does not. Those are the Bank of America accounts.
Okay, so there's another $9,000, a little over $9,000, sitting in PayPal.
Oh, good. And none of that is supposed to go to Afghanistan, Mini Mobile Children's Circus, that we know of?
I haven't looked at the Mini Mobile Children's Circus, but it's certainly not the $25,000 it was the last time we got a payment off to them.
Right. Yeah, that was just out of the blue. So making sure we're caught up in how much that goes to them.
I think we're probably somewhere around 5,000 to 10,000, but I, like I said, I haven't looked in a few months now that are owed to them. Probably closer to 5.
Okay. And that would be in the PayPal account?
That is maintained either through PayPal or through the general funds. We actually do a bookkeeping to maintain that or to maintain that balance. So we have historically paid that out of our general funds because that's where we're able to do the international transfers from.
Okay.
So the three accounts tend to have or have very fluid balances that can move around as we need them.
Great. Okay. Anything else? Scheduling meeting time? Here we go. I'm looking at my schedule.
Just keep in mind that Sunday the 25th is Memorial Day weekend.
Okay. Unfortunately, that's one of the only Sundays I have available in May, myself.
This is Noel. I could do like next weekend.
Yeah,
but
do next weekend.
I could also do the 11th and Memorial Day. But every other weekend is impossible.
Definitely. And I have next weekend, which for the planning meeting, I think that would be fine. Mainly we're going to be talking about the membership strategies. So I would be fine with doing that if other people have that open. Would that work for others? Is that too much to ask?
It works for me.
That would be fine.
Okay. So next week for the planning meeting, and then
I have the 18th and Memorial Day.
On the 25th. I will be available the 18th, but I don't know you won't be available. 25th, I would probably be able to have phone access if needed, but I'll be in Utah. What works for others? 25th or 18th?
Either.
I would prefer the 18th.
Okay. 18th would be best for me as well.
I can do the 18th.
Right.
I'm in Ohio, at Kinetic
Right.
Fire, or maybe Nathan will be.
Hey.
So then would the 18th work for you then, Nathan? Maybe not?
Yeah, I could probably make it home by then. It's only like 3 or 4 hours for me, so I'll probably
Okay.
make that.
Okay. If that's best for everyone... Or for most people, 18th would be preferable, and we would unfortunately not have Noel present. Does that work?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Great.
You said 11th?
18th.
For the other meeting?
For the board meeting, for the business meeting, yes.
Yeah, for the working meeting, did you say the 11th?
The 18th. Oh, the planning meeting, you mean?
Yes.
That's the 4th.
The 4th, okay. And those are all at 5:30, Aaron?
5:30, Pacific Standard Time. Now, I know, too, Jared, you had requested the whole Google Plus calendar thing.
Google Calendar, yeah.
Or Google Calendar, sorry, that's what I meant. I'm happy to send these out to people's emails if they want that. Or, Jared, if you would want to email everyone, that would be great.
I'm emailing myself right now.
You're emailing yourself?
That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm entering it into my calendar as well.
Yeah.
Okay. good. Yeah, I mean, that's great if people can enter it in their own. If you wanted to email just the whole everyone on the board. You might not have their emails currently, Jared, but if we wanted to move to that model, I could probably take care of that out to everyone, too, in the future, to make sure people know in advance. Okay, let's do adjournment.
if everyone's ready. Motion to adjourn.
Mr. Noel, I would like to make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
All right. Any discussion? Hearing none, we'll move to a vote. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes unanimously. All right. We'll talk to you guys next weekend then.
Sounds good.
Okay, good work.
Thank you for a fabulous meeting. Yeah, good work, everyone.
Good job, everyone.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.